J.G. Nendra, welcome to Adults Class 2, Practical Applications of Jainism. Let's start with the Noka Mantra.
Namo Arihantanam, Namo Siddhanam, Namo Mahayaryanam, Namo Bhujayanam, Namo Vaisavasavanam, Eso Panchanamukaro, Sava Bhava Panasinam, Mangala Lancha Savesim, Paramam Bhave Mangala.
I was really torn this time to do goal setting this week because you guys have expectations about this class, right? Like, you come here to learn about practical applications of Jainism. And what are we doing in this class? Doing paperwork. Well, so I always am like torn, like, oh, are we gonna do this? Are we not gonna do this? This is not why you come to class. But when else are you gonna do this? That's why I keep doing this. I mean, when else are you going to sit down and think about your life for an hour? Do you have that opportunity? Thanks to everybody joining us online. Hi, Toby. We're doing goal setting this week. We can find the documents at jainismforeveryone.com under the Documents tab. This is all we're doing today, so feel free to print it out. But when else do you have the time, right? Do you have the time? When was the last time you sat and thought about your life for an hour? Probably the last time we did this, right? Did you do that in between the time we, this time and the last?
Nope.
I mean, you don't come to this class to do paperwork. You don't come to this class. You come to this class to learn, to discuss things with people, things like that. But hi, come on in. But you come to this class for practical applications of Jainism, right? So, what, and that's the hard part. And I don't get to be part of your life. I don't get to make sure that you're applying Jainism to your life. I just know that you're here, and that's all I know. I just get you for an hour a week. If the pen doesn't work, just throw it away and grab a new pen. You guys are my pen filtration system. So. Hi, Toby. How are you doing?
Okay.
Good, thank you. This is all we're doing this week. We're just thinking about our life. You can find this document at jainismforeveryone.com under the Documents tab. Feel free to get up, print it out. This is all we're doing today. We're going to learn how to fill out these things. The first one is called the SMART Goals Table. And the second one is called Spiritual Hygiene Toolbox and Regimen. So the first thing to say is that if you're uncomfortable thinking about your life, like if your first reaction is, oh, let me do something productive, okay? Well then, this is a problem that we need to solve. And it is uncomfortable to think about your life. But we've got to get used to doing this so you're the one in control of your life. Because if you're not directing your life, then somebody else is. Either your boss, your spouse, your kids. If you're not working towards your goals and setting your goals, you're working for the man. And the man is controlling your life, right? Okay, so I see we have a bunch of pens not working, so here we can use these.
Good.
I have some backup ones.
No, these are
good. They're good?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No, we're good.
Yep.
And that's how you start to see that you are imprisoned. Is when you actually try to do things, right? Has anybody here actually tried to do something and accomplish something that a long-term goal and then realized things are conspiring against me not to do this, right? Like, I'm a wannabe writer, right? So obviously you have to just write every day. That's one of the rules for writers. You just write what you can every day. And then, you know, things got in the way. I had to take out the trash And I started resenting that. I had to attend to my family. And I started resenting that. And I had to do all these things. And I realized, who set all this up? I didn't set all this up. Hi, come on in. So who set it up for me? That is, then I started to realize, oh wait, somebody else was directing my life, not me.
Probably your wife and kids.
And so that's why we have to do this, because if you're not in control of your life, you're not going to get to where you want to go spiritually, right? And so we have to set our goals, right? We have to set our personal goals, professional goals, spiritual goals, physical goals, mental goals, and family goals.
For me, it's like sticking to the goal is the hard. Like, I'll do it for a while, and then everything is going fine, and then all of a sudden something will happen, and then you just get completely sidetracked, right?
Right.
Or once you achieve that goal and that's it, then you are not motivated to go further inch, you know.
Okay.
That's the another issue, so.
That's great that you achieved a goal.
But
then,
I do like a very small.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
sure.
It's easy to attain,
yeah,
you know.
That's
like
better.
But that's good.
That's how we start, with small goals. And then we build upon those wins. And then as you take control of over your life, you'll set larger and larger goals.
Sometimes it becomes more like, you know, like a quicksand.
Right.
Like you miss one item and then you just build on to that on missing more and more and more and more.
Yeah, it's a cascade of failure, right?
Yeah.
And you feel bad about it and that causes you to not accomplish another goal. That's right. Yeah. We have talked about specific things that stop us from accomplishing goals in the last couple of classes. We've talked about procrastination, we've talked about failure, we've talked about, what was the last class? The two classes ago? It was a specific thing that causes us to, I forget. We talked about obstacles that we face when we're trying to set goals.
I found that if you have a goal to reduce or remove something that you don't like, I'm able to achieve it. But if you're trying to get a goal to add something, like work out this many times a week, or
mm-hmm.
spend time to read or spend time to this, I struggle with the adding. But
right.
With the subtracting, like, oh, I don't want to eat this type of sugar. I want to not eat after this time of night. I want to skip breakfast. The things I can reducing, I'm able to do, but not adding.
It seems to me like that's a semantic issue, because what is adding but reducing, or what is reducing but adding when you're talking about things to your life? It seems to me like that's in your head, you know? Like, if you're going to, what is reducing unhealthy things but adding healthier things? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it's much easier to say that thing is banned. One specific thing. Eating unhealthy is like a very generic term.
Okay.
But like, this is one thing I do every day. I'm going to stop eating that one thing. And
right.
And I'm able to ultimately achieve it. And then once you, it's like the momentum. Once you get it and you're out of it, that's fine. But adding an extra workout three times a day, and then you miss it on Friday, and you miss it on Sunday, and then you're like, oh God, I haven't done it in 2 weeks. Forget it. You know? Like,
yeah.
Because adding requires you to create the time and energy to do it.
Yeah.
But reducing, you just don't do it.
I don't know.
I
it's
see
like
what you're
one
saying.
Thing is like a ban, what other
right.
thing is proactive. So, but anyways, that's just an anecdote. I'm not saying don't do the adding, but you know.
And we want to make sure that our goals are specific, measurable, achievable, resourced, and time bound. That is, they have to be smart goals, otherwise we won't accomplish them. Don't just look at the paper, okay? You have to write on the paper. This is all we're doing. I'm just filling time while you're thinking about your life. That's all we're doing today. It's my gift to you. My gift to you is about 45 to 50 minutes of time to think about your life. Because when was the last time you thought about it?
I use an application
called habit factor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It, like, when you open it every time, it gives a nice quote, which motivates you, and then you can track, like, daily, weekly, monthly, and how long you want to track for.
Yeah.
And then shows you how you behave, things like that. Also, tracking itself is another
goal. Right. So, yeah, so a lot of times that does help a lot of people, apps like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, it's like more overhead, right? And it's more one more thing I got to keep track of. So it depends on who you are, whether something like that will help you or not.
Mm-hmm. It does make you think about it, though, when you're tracking.
Right.
Yes.
Especially if the reminder comes,
mm-hmm.
right? Just like a Facebook notification, it's like, oh, a tracking notification.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be on track with my life. Like, instead of, we're trying to use technology to help us instead of hurt us. So, a SMART goal. So, your goal can't be to lose weight, right? That is not specific, measurable, achievable, resourced, or time-bound. But your goal can be, I want to lose 10 pounds in 3 months. Okay? So that's specific. 10 pounds in 3 months. It's measurable. I have a scale, right? It's like it's something that's measurable. Something that's not measurable is, I want to be a happier person. While that might be a nice goal, it's not measurable. Okay? It's achievable. So the goal is not to lose 30 pounds in 2 months, right? That may not be achievable for you. But if you want to lose 10 pounds in 3 months, that's an achievable goal. It's resourced. You have what you need to, the material things that you need to accomplish the goal. You have control over your food. You have a scale to measure. You have things like that. It is resourced. And it is time bound. So even a goal that is, I want to lose 10 pounds, is not a SMART goal because it's not time bound. All right? So that's what we mean by a SMART goal. And there's not that much room on here, because if you fill out this whole thing, it'll be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 goals, which is too many. It's going to be about 6 months till we do this again. So you can write long-term goals in here, but just know that we're going to revisit the topic in about 6 months. And you can't work on 12 goals at once. That's working on zero goals, if you're trying to do that. All right, we got a straight-A student here. He filled out almost everything. That's because I think he's been doing this for a long time, so maybe some of those goals are previous ones from the last page.
Yeah, one, I would say one of them is from previous one, which I'm not able to do it.
Okay, great.
So I'm trying to reiterate that.
Yep, work on it again, perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, the rest I've tried to put some new goals.
Oh, fantastic.
To see how it can be done.
What is these 35 qualities?
Ah, 35 qualities. That's in the book.
Okay.
So those are called samitis, I think, right? Anybody want to check me on that? It's the 35 qualities of somebody.
Sravaka.
Perhaps. Let us see. I'm opening the book right now. Yep, I think they're called, no, not called samitis. 35 qualities. Ah, yes, it is called the Marga Nusari Gunas.
Marga Nusari
Gunas. It's on page 46 of my book, so let's see. The 35 qualities. The kind of life that leads toward that path and all those things that help one lead such a life constitute the Marga Nusari life, or leading to a noble householder's life. So you're right, Shravaks and Shravikas. 11 duties to be carried out in life, 8 faults to be discarded, 8 virtues to be cultivated, and 8 endeavors to be carried out with caution makes 35. So, right. So, one thing that's great about these 35 things is there's a lot of people that say, just tell me what to do and I will do it, right? Well, that's kind of okay because you really need to understand what you're doing before you do it. But it's certainly good to start doing things while you're learning, right? So this is some people, for the people that are like that, they say, okay, do these 35 things. Start on these and you'll be great. Well, what are they? Lawful earning in accordance with the law. Proper expenditure within the limits of one income. Proper dress and accessories. Proper marriage. Proper residence. Eating food at proper times. It's just the things you got to do, right? So those are part of the 11 duties. So there's duties, faults, virtues, and endeavors. And great. You say, hey, what do I need to do to be a better Jane? Here's a list of 35 things.
Yeah, but they use the word proper, but you have to know what proper is, right?
Well, sure. Yeah, that's where your learning starts. For some people, that's where the learning starts.
So that Marganasari is kind of called before you get to the Jain level, before you do Sravak, Sravika related stuff, you need to be at that level by following these 35 things.
Sure. We're all at different points along the spiritual path, and we all have to start somewhere. And that's a great place to start. Just tell me what to do. Live your life according to these principles. Amazing. Who knew it could be so easy? That was a little joke. It's extremely hard. As you guys know. Okay, does anybody want to share a success story or a failure story? I'm accepting both today of their goals. All right, so one thing you can't do is to get mad at yourself if you fail. That doesn't accomplish anything. You're going to fail. It's like a very steep curve at first. The hardest part is at the very beginning. And once you start learning how to accomplish goals, it becomes easier and easier. And you just add another layer of obstacles when you feel guilty for failing at goal. Don't feel bad. We're all going to fail at first. That's normal. Even if you just write something down, that's a win. If you just write 10 things down and you didn't accomplish anything until we come up again, I'm sure that's happened to you right now. You're like, oh, he's handing out the paper again. I didn't accomplish anything from last time. It's okay. Don't feel bad. Simply writing things down is good for you.
Explain five vows versus five codes of conduct. What is the difference
between these two? Sure. The five vows, who remembers what the five vows are? Right. So you know what the five vows are. So now you need to know what the five codes of conduct are, right? Also in the book. Let us look in the book.
The code of right knowledge, gaining right faith, code of acquiring right conduct, right austerities, and what is the last one? Exercising the right vigor and what?
Oh my goodness! Oh, you were. Oh, I thought you were doing it from your head. For my book, it's on page 69. That's right. Panchachar, five codes of conduct. Jnanachar, code of acquiring right knowledge. Darshanachar, right faith. Charitraachar, right conduct. Tapachar, right austerities. And Vidyachar, exercising the right vigor and mentality. For my book, it's on chapter 6, page 69. Okay, we seem to have a lot of questions about that part, so let's turn the paper over. As we turn the paper over, we see our spiritual hygiene toolbox and regimen. The top part is the toolbox, and the bottom part is the regimen. And how it works is we select one item from the toolbox, and we write it down in the appropriate place on the regimen. So for example, and it's very important which place you write it down, otherwise you're going to fail your goal, okay? So for example, pratikaman, if we want that one, we can't do it daily. You're going to fail if you try to do it daily, okay? Maybe start easy, maybe start yearly, okay? Yearly, I'm going to do a pratikaman on a certain date, okay? So one thing you can do daily is prayer. That's a fun one. Maybe you can write that on there daily, okay? And so the reason there are blank spaces in the toolbox is because these are not all of the things that you can do, okay? This is just a idea to light your lamp. This is just some ideas to get you started. These blanks are here to remind you that you do what you want, okay? That is, you do what you want spiritually. You write it in these blanks. And then you can move those to the bottom part, to the regiment. That is, what will you do daily? What will you do weekly on a certain day of the week? What will you do monthly on a certain date of each month? And what will you do yearly on a certain date of each year? So for example, monthly, you could do fasting or eating less on the first Tuesday of each month. And so you write that down. So that's how this works. And so hopefully if you don't understand what's on the top, then you look in the book and you see where it is. Or you can ask me, I will tell you what it is.
Aren't we supposed to do most of it anyway?
Sure.
On a daily basis.
But how do you get started? But do you do most of these on a daily basis?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Then you are farther ahead than a lot of us, okay? But, I mean, that's where we want to be. So you are where we want to be. And that's great. So then maybe perhaps in these blanks, you'll write some harder things, some things that are much harder than what I've written down here. Okay, we had a commitment last week for 3 tech-free days for 3 months. Did you write that down?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. We had a commitment over here. He's not here for going vegan 3 days in 3 months. Does anybody want to share something that they would like to do for their spiritual hygiene?
Samayik, or at least once a month.
Samayik once a month, that's great. And so what you should do, what Sandeep already did, is take a picture of this, right? You might lose this piece of paper unless you put it on your fridge or someplace, but then if you put it on your fridge, you won't see it along with everything else you don't see on your fridge, right? So take a picture of this, save it in your photos, make it your phone background, then you'll see it every day, and you'll be like, oh yeah, I had to work on that, and then you'll make a decision differently. Then instead of doing one thing, you'll do something in furtherance of your goals. And it's a physical mindfulness token that you use and see every day.
I'm going to share a technique that has worked. Not 100% successful, but we have done this one many times in the past, and what has worked for me personally is break down that goal into the rule called 3-30-3 rules.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to do in next 3 days to achieve that goal, what you're going to do next 30 days, and what you're going to do next 3 months. Until I break it down, I don't put enough thoughts to it.
Right.
So
the goal is amorphous in your mind, and you never get any work done.
Yeah, I would say like, okay, lose 10 pounds in 3 months, right? For an example. So it starts from what I'm going to do in the next 3 days to make sure that I stay on track. Next 30 days and next 3 months. That helped me. That has a more success rate to get it done compared to just having it and looking at it once a day, twice a day.
That's great, because it forces you to break it down into sub-goals based on time, and it really forces you to visualize yourself accomplishing that goal. So for his example, in the first 3 days, I might have to go to the grocery store,
yeah.
I might have to buy a scale, I might have to research some exercise program online, right? Well, in the next 30 days, I might have to make sure that I'm doing that exercise program, right? Well, and in the next 3 months, I might have to make sure that my pantry looks okay and everything's out, things like that. So that's a really great technique.
So I understand, like, losing weight, that might be your goal to be more healthy, right? But I always see, like, fasting. But what I'm asking why fast?
We fast because we want to prove to ourselves that the soul is different from the body.
Okay.
You know, one
soul is different. Well, it is. I mean, soul is different than the body.
Sure.
But why fast though still?
Because until you fast, you don't realize how much time you waste thinking about food, planning the next meal,
yes.
cooking the next meal, cleaning up,
yeah.
and then thinking about the next meal.
Yeah,
and all that time you could have been working on your soul.
But because we have a body, we have to do these things, unfortunately.
But you do it too much. Sure, you have to do it. But until once you realize that, let's say you fast, and then you realize, man, I really have been wasting. Look at all this stuff I got done because I just fasted that one day. Well, how can I apply that to my life? I can't fast every day, but I can do meal prep. That will help me. I can reduce my attachment to really complicated foods. You know, I could make a commitment because I realized all these benefits, right? I could make a commitment to just having oatmeal for breakfast for the rest of my life. And then I'll get a third of my time back that I wasted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I can make a commitment to fasting for lunch for the rest of my life. And then I'll get a third of my time back that I wasted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that sets you on the path.
There's another, maybe more spiritual than religious benefit to fasting, which is what my dad taught me, is that in life you need self-control. There's a lot of things that will sway you, going the wrong way, getting angry, doing things that you couldn't control, right? And you're saying, no, this is too difficult to control. If you can subdue your most basic need of hunger, right? Your body's telling you, I'm hungry, I need to eat right now. And you're able to control that for a day, 2 days, whatever it is that you can do, then controlling all the other little things becomes much easier because you have proven to yourself that you can control like the most basic gnawing at you from the inside. And so it gives you a feeling of control over your desires that then apply a lot of other places.
Right. Incredible knock-on effects too, as Samir mentioned. Another knock-on effect is our attachment. You realize how attached you are to food and how much that is controlling your life instead of you controlling your life. So tremendous knock-on effects for fasting, which you seem skeptical about, but if you try it, you will realize that.
Sorry, I have like different thoughts on
sure.
the way we have been practicing fasting here.
Okay.
So our idea is to try to detach and all. But the pamperness you get during the fasting from family.
You have a good family.
and then the parna day
right.
and all that, right? Doesn't it create more attachments?
Sure. Yeah, it might be
right.
counterproductive to some people, right. right? Just how this saying of, oh, why do we celebrate the people that do the giboli, right? I want to save enough and donate to the giboli and I feel good and people, you know, treat me well at the Jain Center, things like that. Or why should I feel good doing good deeds or doing charity, right? Sometimes it might be counterproductive. Great,
sometimes
great
the
comment.
Intention is because you do on one person, it will encourage the other people
yeah.
seeing that, right? So that's the whole part of Anumodana.
Right.
When you do that, other people will get encouraged with that. And do it.
No, celebration is one thing,
yeah.
but oh, I'm fasting, I'm not going to do anything.
Mm.
Oh, you are fasting, don't do that. Don't do that.
The point is to
how
live your normal life
yeah.
while you're fasting.
Yeah. You're sitting all the time. Here, air condition is normal, but in India, people will sit in AC room only, they will not go out because they're fasting.
Right.
It's lot of
yeah.
They're learning the wrong
changes.
Lesson.
The motivation changes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
that is applicable only when you're doing like for a large number of days together, meaning you do three or 5 or 8 days, then what you're saying makes sense. But if you do once a month or once a week, I don't think anybody would give that kind of
not
treatment.
Yeah,
like
not in a bigger circle, but in
mm-hmm.
a smaller circle, like in your immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people still like,
yeah.
oh, you're fasting today, don't
Yeah, especially parents to kids. The parents give special treatment to kids if they're fasting. Maybe. I mean, I don't fast, and neither do my kids, but I'm just...
So did we answer some of your skepticism about fasting and what you can learn from it?
I think it comes down to self-control is what I understand.
And that's what we're talking about today, right? We're talking about taking control of your life and who's controlling your life and whether that's actually you or not.
What is physical hardship?
Physical hardship means what we traditionally have thought the stereotype of yoga is. That is, putting yourself in uncomfortable positions or, you know, running for longer than you've ever run before or things like that. That is, putting your body through physical pain as a form of thump.
So while fasting exercise?
No, fasting itself is a physical hardship.
Oh, okay.
That's right. I would think that, yeah, that's right, correct. Fasting is a form of physical hardship,
like,
but there are other forms we can take.
Like some people are not wearing shoes when they do jatra, or, you know, there are different ways. Like, you do posture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Some people put themselves in uncomfortable positions. Some people, I don't recommend it unless you're extremely advanced, but some people harm their body in certain ways to prove that their soul is different from their body, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All sleep on the floor and not
right.
Use mattress, for example.
When people say tech-free day, what is tech-free day? Is it like no phones or no TVs, no laptops?
Let us talk to the inventor of tech-free day and see what he thinks tech-free day means.
So you can't even put your watch.
No phones. No TV.
That's the most important thing.
So
no phones.
Have you been doing this?
I have done it in the past. I haven't done it lately.
So you do as a family or just yourself?
Huh?
You do as a family or just you?
You do need to announce it to the family before you do it. Make sure that they know.
Don't call
you
me.
Are.
No, I
will
not pick
they
up.
Can, yeah, I mean, you will not have your phone. It will shut down. You will not have your watch. You could have watch if you shut down the phone, because then, you know, there is no connection on it. But the idea is that you do not spend any time in front of TV or the phones.
Yeah.
You
when
go,
30
minutes,
1 hour,
you
no
go
for you 30 minutes. Like
you go for yeah. Go to the Garner Park where there is no connection.
Yes.
Camping.
Yes.
So TV free is very. I mean,
TV free is easy.
Yeah.
TV free is the problem.
It makes
yeah.
you be productive in other ways when you don't have your phone on you, right?
Yeah.
It makes you realize you don't
need
that phone
yeah.
in your
oh.
life, and that phone is actually controlling you.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's the opposite. If I don't have a phone for like an hour, I'm like, okay, there's so many. And the moment I keep my phone down is when all the question comes up, and all my scheduling, my calendar is all on my phone. And then we
right.
start making plans, and I'm like, okay, I need my phone to see what's going on that weekend
so
or whatever.
You can't even kiss the computer, so you can't plan.
What did you do
it?
Before 1990?
Exactly. What do you want? Planning. My parents planned it for me. Now that I had to plan everything, it's
so they look. They look when they had to figure out directions. They, you know, they had to ask people, like, how do I get to your house?
But you can start once a week, no talking on the phone.
Yes,
that's very, very basic, easy to do.
Mm.
I practice it every Monday, and everybody knows that I don't pick up phone unless it's an emergency. It's totally a different story. Which my husband can easily handle that. So everybody knows not to call me or not to expect my phone call from
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And I try to stay away from WhatsApp, Facebook, all the medias
yeah.
on that day.
That's a waste of, I mean,
it's
time drain
time
anyway.
Spending, yeah. Unnecessary.
I think the first step would be keep the phone, but don't use internet.
Hmm.
No, it's
like,
not need
no,
to worry
no applications
it.
Use it like YouTube, Facebook, Instagram,
right.
all that. That would be the
maybe start with no social media.
Yeah,
start
no
with
social.
That.
Yeah.
Start small. Start
so
small.
In our age, if we turn off the internet, then we're going to actually pick up the phone and call people. Right now, we don't call people.
Right,
we text. WhatsApp.
Yeah.
We don't. I mean, basic conversations. Nobody picks up the phone.
Right.
Yeah.
People like this.
So we need to go the opposite. We need to turn the internet off. Then we're like, oh, maybe I should just call it and
talk
chat
to people.
That'll maybe a connection.
I
can
see
make.
Keith texting the voice memos.
instead of picking up the phone,
calling them, yes,
they're sending them the voicemail.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like,
yeah.
Yeah, the hardest part is to train your kids not to have that, you know, on in your head.
Yeah, we had an incident, I think day before yesterday. We had one daughter was performing, and we were in rush. So my other daughter came in, and she forgot her phone at home.
Oh my!
She couldn't enjoy the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's
even though she was not
going to
use the phone, she just didn't have the phone.
That's addiction.
Yeah, it is.
See, I took his phone, and he gave me 20 minutes. Just, why do you have to take my phone? Why
yes.
do you have to take my phone?
Yes.
I don't
so
know. I just have to take it.
To tell kids not to do if we can't do it.
And that's a great point, is that this is not only for you. This is for your family. This is especially for your children. If you want, have them fill one of these out. You can find it online at jainismforeveryone.com under the documents tab. Then you can print out as many as you want, and you can have them fill it out, and you can do it together.
Yeah.
And that might help them. You know, for example, you could do prayer daily, and that's one of your goals to do together. And that's one of the best ways that you can teach your kids to go along the spiritual path.
I have an update on one of the goals that was discussed last time.
Sure.
I don't know whose goal it was, but it was about going to the coffee shop and work from there or something like that.
Get out of the house? Was that
yeah,
the
that
yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling you.
How is it? Like, did it stick?
Yeah, so, I'm not very consistent. But I'm now trying to reduce my coffee intake because
that's the next goal.
Yes, new goal. So, but it did help me initially. I like going to different. I now know almost every good coffee shop around my area.
Mm.
So.
And there are some really good ones around here.
Yeah. So yeah, it did. But then the side effect was that I started taking too much caffeine.
Mm.
And now that I don't drink a lot of coffee, but I need at least one cup of coffee, and my caffeine content has gone up, meaning I'm now having more stronger espressos than what I used to have earlier, like cappuccino, which is more of milk. So yeah. But yeah, it works. If your work allows, meaning you're not in too many meetings where you have to participate, or you know some meetings where you just have to listen in, then you could go and just put your AirPods on.
I've gone through the caffeine reduction goal successfully.
Okay, good.
How did you do it? Because I need to.
Well, I used to drink two cups of coffee every day, and then if I missed one cup or zero cups, you know, I would get headache and just lethargic, and so then I would start cutting it back. First I'd make one bigger cup, a little bit more, but not the full, but then I'd skip the second. But then mid-morning I'm done with that cup, and then I'm like, where do I do? So then I started getting the caffeine-free tea, like green tea, and just hot water tea. So I'm still sipping something. So it gives you the impression that you're, you know, you're still doing it. So that helped me. Then I ultimately got rid of the tea too. And you just get used to that one cup. Your body gets used to one cup of caffeine. I do one cup, so I haven't gone zero.
Oh.
Then I got rid of the sugar slowly. I was putting sugar in there, and I was doing artificial sugar. And my wife's like, that's not good for you either.
No.
Yeah.
She's like, that's not good for you either. So then I started cutting back. I used to do two packets per coffee, two coffees a day.
Oh, okay.
So then I just started going a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less over the months. The cutting, I say cutting is easy. You just
right.
go a little at a
right.
time, and now I can go without the sugar.
A lot of people have been helped by decaf if they're trying to cut back.
Yeah.
They have half decaf too.
So I don't drink coffee,
yeah,
but
so I tried that.
Cross
like,
yeah.
Half calf, they call
half
it.
Calf.
I didn't know this even, but I'm addicted to cha.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That, and that's the only caffeine I have. So once in the morning I have cha. But I noticed that I was addicted to it only when I went on vacation and I didn't take cha and I was getting headaches and I didn't know what it was from. So then I realized it was me not having cha.
Yeah.
So then did you replace when you were on vacation?
Now I have to take
like
a cha packet.
Yeah,
instant.
Instant cha packet.
Try drinking coffee and then go back.
I hate the taste of coffee. I mean, I'm used to cha, so that's what it is.
I think coffee is more addicting than cha anyway.
You think so? Because I mean, I don't know. Cha, I didn't. I never knew in my life that cha is so strong.
Yeah. Until you don't drink it, yeah.
Until you, I didn't drink
but
it.
But if you could switch to black coffee, then
maybe
health benefit-wise, cha, it's better than the chai, right? Like,
so coffee is better than
sugar,
cha?
Black
coffee.
Yes.
Drinking
black.
Forget it. I'm not going to switch to another caffeine.
Yeah.
This is going to reduce my cha.
But then you don't have like sugar, milk, all that stuff. Right, so.
But you can go down in quantity.
Yeah, I'm gonna just reduce
and
the amount of chai.
Then your body still gets it. Then you'll
you get
there. It gets used
right.
to it. Like now I'm one cup black coffee and I'm good for the day. Like I don't have the headaches. And I mean, if I go zero, I'll be lethargic a little bit. But like it's you know I went a lot down.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I think I have to take your approach of just reduce it.
Yeah.
Any addiction, you have to taper it off.
Taper it off. Your body gets used to it. Yeah.
Your surrounding people knows about your addiction before you. Like, I know my mom, my wife, they don't have tea. I'm not around them.
I'm not here.
Very good. I know we have a general body meeting, so thank you so much for your time today. Remember to put this in a place where you can see it. And we have a general body meeting in the main hall at 11:30.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It depends.
Okay.